knowing when or if we're really going to have those plans, and that we have the teeth to be able to do that.
Yeah, thank you. Patty, Assemblymember Gilbert, your hand's up there.
I think even though the governor mandated that his mandate supersedes the local and tribal orders, I think Rangel may have a unique solution to pass ordinance number 977. If the assembly will recall, remember we worked on a hazard mitigation plan with WCA, and WCA is a federally recognized tribe of the Stikine River region. And in that mitigation plan, it only addressed national disasters. And that always bothered me and other people who worked on the plan. For instance, it didn't address bioterrorism or security, cybersecurity terrorism, and or even pandemic issues. And the hazard mitigation plan referenced something called the Stafford Act. And the Stafford Act is what allows for emergency situations in the United States. And fast forward, after they approved and authorized that mitigation plan, then March 13th, President Trump declared a major disaster under the Stafford Act, specifically under Section 501B. Well, when he did that, then that put into motion FEMA, and FEMA was tasked to provide assistance under the Stafford Act under Sections 502 and 503. Well, that triggers another section that allows for tribal leaders to ask for assistance. So what I'm thinking is, because we have a partnership with our local tribe, WCA, and we have a mitigation, hazard mitigation plan in effect, and even though it doesn't specifically address pandemic issues, because of the declaration by the president of a pandemic being a emergency situation, that opens up, I believe, an avenue where if the city of Wrangell can't achieve everything we want in ordinance 977, perhaps WCA could request that, because we're working with a partnership. And the WCA, they have additional and broader powers, I believe, than the city does. And they're granted by the federal government. In fact, there's something called the Sandy Recovery Improvement Act of 2013, where a tribal CEO can request a declaration directly from the federal government, doesn't even have to go through the state. So I would like to request that our borough manager explore some sort of mechanism with CWA and see if we can enact these protective orders in the ordinance that we're considering.
Thank you, Assemblymember Gilbert. City Manager Von Bargen, do you want to respond to that?
Right. I responded to Assemblymember Gilbert's email saying you are a genius, and I think there is merit in taking a look at this. And in fact, I will reach out tomorrow to Greg Brelsford, who is the Bristol Bay Borough Manager. One of the things that he has said repeatedly in our manager's phone calls is that he has several different tribal entities within the Bristol Bay Borough, and they are enacting things for their areas that are far more strict than what the borough is doing. And I don't know under what powers they are doing that, but I will certainly reach out to Greg and ask, and I will follow up with our attorney about what options there may be there, and I will reach out to Esther to see if there is some sort of partnership we can enter in to do this, because I think the tribe, as Assemblymember Gilbert has pointed out, doesn't have to go through the state. I think the tribe can go directly to FEMA asking for assistance. And one of the things that the attorneys that I mentioned were talking to us about is, if you are having concerns about what is going on in your municipality and you don't have the ability to enact something stricter, he said, go to your federal partners, because your federal partners are not covered by the state mandates. So you can partner with the Coast Guard. They didn't say this, but potentially the U.S. Forest Service. Unfortunately for us, airspace and water, the waters are the state waters. They're not federal waters, unfortunately. But could the Forest Service help in some instances? I don't know. And maybe WCA could as well, as a federally recognized tribe. We certainly need to check.
And also, Mayor, I'd like to add that we have a partnership with Search, and Search never ever relinquished their sovereign nation rights. And therefore, that's another non-federal entity of its own, a governmental entity that could assist Wrangell in putting forward this ordinance. I really believe that may be the pathway for us to enact this ordinance to protect Wrangell.
Thank you, Patty. Does anybody else want to comment? David.
I really like Patty's idea, for one. I think that I agree with Lisa, that's brilliant. But I do have some stuff that I want to talk about that has been talked about right now. The one problem I have with the plans that the state does, even if they do come to us, I mean, they're already enacted, so those people have already traveled. The other problem I have is the state says if they're not right, they'll send them back. But what I understand, once you submit that plan, you're traveling anyways. I mean, that was talked about the last couple of meetings we've done. So I have a problem with the way the state's doing it altogether. And the other thing is, I want everybody to understand that we are not discussing something on one industry here. We have a lot of town, in this town, we have a lot of businesses shut down already. They all depend on all kinds of industries that are already gone. So I want everybody to understand when we're talking about this, we're talking about this as our town. Not shutting the industry down because of it. So I just want to be careful. By doing nothing, that means we are doing nothing for our town. And that bothers me. And the other thing is, I don't see why we can't tell people that if they want to come here and they want to be part of this community and fish, or, you know, get on a boat, go on a charter fishing, anything they want to do, why they can't just submit a plan to us. I do not get the big idea that we are stepping on legal grounds of why we can't say, you know what, this is our town. If you want to come here, submit the plan to the state, great, but also give us a copy of it. I just like some ideas on why we can't do that.
Lisa, do you want to cover that off, please?
I can, Assemblymember Powell, I'm not sure I have an answer for you, and I need to apologize up front. I absolutely had not one second of time today to contact the attorney about stuff before our meeting tonight. I just didn't have it. And so I will be reaching out to him first thing in the morning about the items that are raised here tonight. And I will find out if we have the ability, if perhaps the review of the plans, because it's not a travel mandate, is something that we have the ability to do without much risk. And
okay, so
using the assembly member Decker mentioned that we frankly are, we have to have them one to implement what the state is requiring.
David?
So there's another thing that you said earlier, Lisa, that they have to submit a plan to a unified command. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the State Emergency Operations Center, essentially.
Okay, so no town in Alaska is part of the unified command. We're not unified. I mean, that's enough. I mean, if you start to mix words and throw words out there, that it's all interpretation then. I mean, I figure we have a emergency response. Are we part of this unified command? What's the difference?
So that also is another brilliant angle, actually, because normally a unified command is exactly that. It is the incident commander from every jurisdiction, federal, state, and local that is impacted. So technically, the unified command should be a federal on-scene coordinator, a state on-scene coordinator, and a local on-scene coordinator. But because this is impacting everybody at the local level, there's no way you could have one incident commander from each community. But what you damn sure should have, in my opinion, is a local on-scene coordinator that is representing the municipalities. So that is, brilliant.
David, do you want to follow up?
I'm sorry, what, Mr. Mayor?
Just Assembly Member Powell, did you want to follow up?
Well, I think Ann wanted to say something.
Okay. No, I'm just saying I think either one of those ideas we should explore in depth and see what we can do.
Okay. Anybody else?
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, please go ahead.
I wish we were in person because this is the first time I've smiled in days listening to these ideas from everybody.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's why we have a work session. That's excellent. I'd just like to comment on the capacity that you raised to us that, and this has been my battle cry since the beginning, that as these plans have rolled forward, the state has laid down a groundwork and a flow chart that says you need to do this and this and this and this. But nowhere from the state to any industry has anybody addressed the local capacity in any meaning. Nobody has contacted CERJ and asked them, what is the local capacity? And each community is different. So we can write the most elaborate plans and submit stuff to the state. But if your local hospital is overwhelmed, none of it matters. And that seems to me to be the piece that's missing. And what you just told me just a little while ago is that we have three ventilators, but perhaps two of them are really not sufficient to sustain somebody if for some reason we weren't able to evacuate people in a timely manner. So what I heard there is we have one ventilator that would be able to sustain people if for some reason we couldn't get everybody out. The second thing is that the overwhelming of that capacity, if we're not taking a holistic look and we don't have some kind of say as a community, and I'm not picking on any one industry because Alaska Crossings could come down here with 50 staff and 30 kids, and that's a fair chunk. That may be more than the whole fishing industry as far as I know. But we have to include our hospital and the healthcare system in everything that we're doing, because if it falls apart, we've got nothing. And I read a letter from a physician up north that was writing about just the concerns of just being able to provide ongoing healthcare. Not take COVID out of the picture for a minute, but if you've got part of your hospital shut down because you've got COVID patients in there, how are you dealing with cut hands and heart attacks and dislocated elbows and all of that? So I really appreciate that you reached out today and were able to speak with somebody at Surge. And I think moving forward, I would recommend that they are in our conversations, because we don't own the hospital anymore. We don't have a constant flow of intel back and forth like we used to. So where Petersburg is directly, you know, they've still got that. We don't have that. So we have to really make sure that we're facilitating that in all that we're doing. But I really appreciate all of the ideas. And, you know, our goal is to be able to do as much as we can and keep the majority of people safe. The final thing that I'll say that worries me is that once people are here, they're ours. And once people arrive, we are now responsible. When they show up at those hospital doors, the hospital is going to take them in and treat them. And so as we move forward, I'm really cautioning us to take each, like right now, things are fine. We have nothing here. But in 2 weeks, that might change. In 2 weeks from there, that might change. And I just really want to, whatever mechanisms we build in on this, we need to have sort of, I don't know, whether it's decision points or some ideas in terms of when we have to start to look at other measures or other things to do. Right now, we're fine. And I mean, I think everybody's doing a great job of following along, and it's paying off. So I guess what I'm encouraging is that we come up with solutions to be able to make sure that we're not overwhelming, and at the same time, keeping these workers safe. That's also our responsibility. Assemblymember Gilbert.
Yes, I'm glad you made the statement that you just made, because I really feel that our assembly and our community is in this crush between our hospital capabilities and our own emergency management capabilities and the state sanctions and mandates. And we're really getting squeezed, and we're trying our best, even though it looks messy to the community and it looks like we have stops and starts, but we truly are trying to do our best out of an abundance of concern for our community. And I just hope that the community members have ideas, that they contact our borough manager or the mayor and get those ideas out.
For sure. David, go ahead. Sorry. David, Assemblymember Powell.
Yeah. I just have, this will be my final comment, but I just want to let everybody know, you know, we are trying our best, but my problem is the clock's ticking. It's going to come here. We know it's going to come here. And every time we delay something that we could do is not good. And I understand what Anna's saying about tread lightly. I just think that sometimes we need to slam our fist on the table and say enough is enough. So it's just something to think about.
Okay.
I didn't say lightly, I said carefully.
Okay. Assembly member, I'm sorry, I see that Caleb, you have your hand up, and I'm sorry, we won't be taking your question. You could take that offline with Lisa after. We're taking no comment from public tonight. Right. Julie Decker, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I want to say kind of a few generalized things, but first of all, I think the community needs to recognize, I certainly do, how much time and effort both the borough manager and the mayor have put into this. I see and talk with these folks, and it's on their mind all the time. And so, you know, it's easy to sit back. In particular, even criticizing the state is easy to do, but The reason there's so much confusion about what the state's doing is because the state was trying to act quickly. And I think, you know, with the leadership we have in Wrangell, we also acted quickly, or tried to act quickly at the very beginning. Now we're trying to sort our way through, you know, the difference between the state and what we can do locally. There's nothing wrong with those things. And I think actually we're situated very well because of it. And the other side of that coin is the community's response. The community has responded very well. And for the most part, people are being very proactive and following either voluntary recommendations or mandates from the state or the borough. So, you know, I think because of all those things, we're situated very well. And I appreciate that. The kind of more general thing is, I do, like Assemblymember Powell, I do have some concerns about sort of running down these broader approaches that may take time. I'm okay with, you know, fleshing them out for a little bit, but I am a little concerned about spending too much time on any broad thing versus getting down to sort of what I would call nuts and bolts of implementation on a community level. So that means a lot, you know, implementation on community level means a lot of different things, but I think there's a lot of things we can do there, and but it will take time and energy and focus. So I kind of support focusing energy there as a priority, but I'm not opposed to, I would like to get some legal advice on some of these different approaches, actually. And I just don't want to take too much time running down those paths. Thank you.
I think that's a really good point, Assemblymember Decker. And I think everybody needs to remember the better job we do now with as a community, the better job we do, the better off we'll, or the better position we'll be in to recover economically as we go, or be able to keep something moving forward. It's a matter of doing a good job of the little things in order to be able to have other things happening. If we get sloppy or slack, then we'll run into trouble because we don't have a huge reserve. One other thing that I'll just mention, the EMS is we're short of people for our EMS.